بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه ذلك الفوز العظيم صدق الله العظيم My respected brothers and elders and our sisters listening over the receiver With the fadl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala We resume our discussion on the Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'een. We had been discussing so many of them and the sacrifices they had made for the sake of deen, how they embraced Islam, how they were nurtured by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how they imparted deen, how they spread deen through the four corners of the globe. And we discussed the accolades they received from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Amongst them we discussed Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an. And if you recall, he had climbed up the tree and the wind blew and his shin became exposed. On that some of the Sahaba began to laugh at his very thin legs. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seeing them laughing at the thinness of the legs or the shins of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala, he remarked that by Allah, the feet of Abdullah bin Mas'ud will be more weightier than the mount of Uhud on the day of Qiyamah on his scales. Like this, so many Sahaba, each Sahabi received some blessing, some glad tidings from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Tonight we discuss a young Sahabi, and that is Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an. I had mentioned previously there were many Abdullahs amongst the Sahaba. There were many Abdullahs, but there were some famous ones like Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala an, who we discussed already. Then there is Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. Then there is Abdullah bin Zubayr radiallahu ta'ala an. And Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an. So Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an was born 3 years before the migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah to Medina. In fact, he was born, according to some historians, in the valley of Abu Talib, where the Banu Hashim and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba, were ostracized, they were boycotted, there was a siege. And he lived in this valley for 3 years. So just almost at the end of this boycott period, just before they emerged from this valley, that is when Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala was born. Who is his father? Abdullah, the son of Abbas. Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. Who was Abbas radiallahu ta'ala? He was the beloved uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The son of Abdul Muttalib. Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had many sons. Father of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Abdullah. Hamza radiallahu ta'ala is another uncle. So Abbas radiallahu ta'ala was the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he was just 2 years older than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once Abbas radiallahu ta'ala was questioned by some person, Man akbar? Who is greater? Who is bigger? Akbar? Anta or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So the person asking the question was actually wanting to know who was older, who was elder from the two. So Abbas radiallahu ta'ala showed etiquette, adab, love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, true manners. And he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana akbara minni, wa ana kuntu asanna minhu. In reality, he is more greater than myself. I am just older in age. In Arabic, the word asan, from the word sinnun, which means years, age. So he said, as far as age is concerned, I came into this world 2 years prior to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam coming into this world. But as far as greatness is concerned, he was much more greater than myself. Nevertheless, Abbas radiallahu ta'ala was in Makkah, and he had not embraced Islam right till the battle of Badr, according to many historians. Some historians say, no, he had embraced Islam just at the time of, just before battle of Badr, and he had concealed his Islam because he was afraid of the other Quraysh leaders and he did not want to oppose them. Nonetheless, he was captured in the battle of Badr amongst those mushrikeen who were captured by the Sahaba. And we know they had to pay ransom to free themselves. Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, that night when he was fitted and he was shackled, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could hear the groans and moans of Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, his uncle. And therefore that left Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sleepless that night. The Sahaba had sensed this the next morning. And they said, okay, Ya Rasulullah sallam, we will unfetter him, we will release him and let him go. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, we will release him, but he has to still pay a ransom. Now this is the justice of Islam. Despite Abbas radiallahu ta'ala being his beloved uncle, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam still took a ransom from Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. And this is a very beautiful incident which some ulama have mentioned, that Abbas radiallahu ta'ala tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I've got nothing to pay. I've got no ransom, I've got no money. So Rasulullah tells him, what about the treasure that is a secret between you and your wife, Ummul Fadl? On this, he becomes astounded. And he says, only myself and my wife, we were the only two who knew about this. So this gave him some positive inclination that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the true Nabi of Allah, and then he embraced Islam. فَكَتَمَ إِسْلَامَهُ. But then he concealed his Islam on the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He returned to Makkah, and then he would bring information or send information to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to the Quraysh, their whereabouts, their plans, their ploys, right till before Fath Makkah, the conquest of Makkah. Just before Fatih Makkah, Abbas radiallahu ta'ala now comes, he makes the hijrat. And he was the last person making the hijrat from Makkah to Medina. Rasulullah SAW had just left Medina en route. They meet Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, his belongings are taken to Medina, and he accompanies Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back to Makkah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was very fond of Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. And therefore he mentioned, Man آذَ Abbas فَقَدْ آذَانِ. Whoever gives taklif, whoever hurts or insults Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, in reality he has caused insult and pain to me. And then he mentions that an uncle, father's brother, he is just a branch of the same tree. So therefore, any person who causes Abbas pain, Abbas is just like my father. He is my uncle, my father's brother. So he is causing me pain. Abbas radiallahu anhu's wife, Ummul Fadl, she was a sister of Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha. Who was Maymuna? Maymuna was the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is important for us to know these historical facts. Then we will understand the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam properly. Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha, she is the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Her sister, she is married to Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. Therefore, that makes Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam uncle and nephew, brother-in-laws. They married to two sisters. They had another sister. She was married. Her name was Salma. She was married to Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. Hamza also an uncle and also brother-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A fourth sister, she was Asma binti Umais radiallahu ta'ala anha, and she was married to Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala, who is the son of Abu Talib, brother of Ali, also the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So these were the brother-in-laws of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ummul Fadl had embraced Islam immediately after Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha had embraced Islam. So she was the first woman, who who embraced Islam after Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha. In other words, she was already a believer while she still lived with Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. And we mentioned previously the laws of nikah had not come down at that time. It was permissible to stay in that way. So Ummul Fadl radiallahu ta'ala anha had already embraced Islam, and then she makes hijrat with her husband and they come to Medina. But once, while she is in Makkah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sees her going past. Then he tells her that you are going to give birth to a son. When you give birth, then you bring this child to me. So exactly as Rasulullah had commanded, when Abdullah was born, Abdullah bin Abbas, she takes this child, hands him over to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَسَمَّاهُ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam named him Abdullah. Then Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the tahniq, and he placed this khajur, after chewing it, onto the palate of Abdullah. And Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu would then very proudly say that the first thing that entered my stomach or my body was the saliva, Mubarak saliva of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made out, from the time Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma makes the hijrat, he adhered to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every day he would sit in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would spend some of the nights in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he would be living with Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anhu. It is her turn. Then, because Maymuna was now his khala, his mother's sister, then Abdullah would also go and spend the night with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he would observe the salat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now once in that condition, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, without requesting him, without asking him to prepare his wudu, water, etc., Nabiya Kareem sallallahu had gone to make istinja. When he comes out, he finds everything prepared, his musalla, his miswak, his wudu, water, everything prepared for him. So he asks, who has kept all this for me? Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu remarked, I prepared this for you, ya Rasulullah sallallahu. On that, Rasulullah became elated. And he placed his hands on the chest of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, and he gives him a dua, a very special dua. In one riwayat, it is mentioned, Allahumma faqihhu fi al-deen wa 'allimhu al-kitab. Wallah, give this child, now I'm saying child, embrace Islam 3 years before hijrat. When Rasulullah ﷺ left this world, on the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah bin Abbas was only 13 years old. Only 13 years old. Rasulullah ﷺ gives him this dua. Wallah, give him the understanding of deen. And imbue him with hikmat, with wisdom. Give him understanding of the Quran. Make him understand the ayat of the Quran, the interpretation, the tafsir of the Quran. And make him understand hikmat, or give him the knowledge of sunnah. And when he speaks, he must speak with wisdom. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says, Rasulullah SAW had given me this dua twice in my life. One riwayat suggests that when Rasulullah SAW, after making wudu, he stood for salat, nafil salat. So he put Abdullah next to him in salat and he commenced the salat. Abdullah bin Abbas slowly went behind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi Kareem s.a.w. terminated his salat, he says, مَا يَمْنَعُكَ أَن تَقُومَ, what prevented you from standing next to me? So he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, spontaneously, without even thinking, he said, Ya Rasulullah, أَنْتَ أَجَلُّ وَأَعْظَمُ مِنْ أَنْ أُوَازِيكَ. You are greater, and you are so lofty, and you are so, you're a Nabi of Allah, you're the greatest of Allah, of the Anbiyas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It does not behove me to stand next to you in salat. I should stand behind you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw his very witty remark. And on that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then gave him this dua, Allahumma allimhu al-hikmah. Wallah, give him hikmah, give him wisdom. Allahumma atihi al-hikmah. In one riwayat, Allah, give him, same thing. Different words in Arabic. Now this hikmat that he got from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him the leader of the mufassireen of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is no ordinary thing. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an would call Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala despite his tender age and make him sit amidst the old sahaba who participated in Badr. And he was the only youngster amongst them. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu would consult them with various different matters and issues. And they would give their opinions and he would ask Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. Some of them felt, we've got young children, young sons of the same age. Why have they been deprived? Why are they not called to this gathering of Umar radiallahu ta'ala, the special majlis of shura or mashwara? So some of them objected. Umar radiallahu ta'ala remained silent. One day, whilst Abdullah bin Abbas is seated there, he poses the question to the sahaba. He says, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا. He asked each Sahabi who was seated there, what did you understand from this, from the deeper meaning of this, of these verses? So each one gave the various, the meaning that when Allah's victory comes and Allah's help comes, and you see people entering into the fold of Islam in droves, then you must glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is most forgiving. The normal tafsir that we hear. Umar radiallahu then looks at Abdullah bin Abbas. Abdullah, did you understand the same thing as these people understood? He says, I understood something even more deeper. He says, what is it? He says, from this verse or this surah that was revealed, I understood that this was indicative of the time of the expiry of Rasulullah's life in this world. Now he is going to leave this world. From these verses that came down, I understood that these verses now indicated that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time in this world is limited. He's going to leave this world. Because then Islam had spread, people were coming into the fold of Islam. Allah says, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. Now glorify, praise Allah and seek forgiveness from Him. So I understood that this is now indicating to the fact that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to leave this world. Umar radiallahu anhu said, I understood the exact meaning what you have understood from these verses. The others then saw that this is no ordinary child. He's absolutely intelligent. And he's got profound knowledge of Quran and Hadith. It is mentioned he narrated 1,660 ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 1,660 ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And therefore he was known as Habru Hadi al-Ummah. Habrun. The Jews would use this word Habrun to indicate a very great scholar. How we say Sheikh or a very learned person. He was known as Habru Hadihi al-Ummah. If the very learned alim of this ummah. And some people would call him Bahr. Bahrun means ocean. He was an ocean of knowledge. Somebody remarked, he says, Fatal Kahul. Kahul means those who are middle age or elderly. So this was indicating to those elderly ones whom Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu would consult. And fatan in Arabic means a youngster. So fatal kahul, that youngster who had the privilege to sit amidst the older ones. Lisanun sa'ul, he would always ask good questions. Ya Rasulullah, why is it like this? What is the meaning of this? وَقَلْبٌ عَقُولٌ. And his mind, his heart will contain and memorize and preserve all that which Rasulullah would teach him. And therefore we find that he had a burning desire to learn more and more. Even after the demise of Rasulullah, if he heard that Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala, the Qari of this ummah, has got some understanding or some tafsir of some verse which he heard from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or he learned a certain ayat from Rasulullah in a specific manner, then he would undertake a journey and sit at his doorstep and wait for him. Although Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu ta'ala would would become upset and say, Abdullah, why didn't you call my dua? I would have come to you. You didn't. You should not have bothered of coming right to my place. I would have come to you. You are from the Ahlul Bayt. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala shows so much of respect to the ulama. He was young. Although he was known or he was given so much of knowledge, but he would respect the senior ulama. Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala, the special scribe of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We'll discuss him on some other occasion. But Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala is mounted on a horse or a camel. Abdullah bin Abbas runs forward and he begins to hold the reins of this horse and he begins to escort Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala. Zayd bin Thabit says, Yabna ammi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, nephew of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why are you doing this? So he said, أُمِرْنَا أَن نَفْعَلَ بِعُلَمَائِنَا هَكَذَا. We have been commanded to deal with our ulama in this gentle manner, in this polite manner, that we should show them respect. Zayd bin Thabit radiallahu ta'ala is not feeling very comfortable. So he grabs hold of the hand of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, kisses his hand. Abdullah bin Abbas says, what are you doing? He says, أُمِرْنَا أَن نَفْعَلَ بِأَهْلِ بَيْتِ نَبِيِّنَا صلى الله عليه وسلم هَكَذَا. We have been taught, this is how we should do and deal with the Ahlul Bayt of our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We talk about purity of hearts. Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they had clean, pure hearts. They would not harbor any malice or ill feelings. A person swears Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhum for no just reason. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhum makes sabr. But then he explains and he tells the people that this man is swearing me. Although I have three qualities, and the maqsad, the objective of him mentioning these qualities is not out of vanity, out of pride, but he is teaching us, the ummah of Rasulullah a lesson. And he says, sometimes I come across an ayat, a verse as I'm reading the Quran. And Allah has imbued me with such knowledge of that verse. لَوَدِدْتُ I desire that the entire mankind gains that knowledge that I have of that particular verse. That knowledge that Allah has given me with regards to that particular verse. The knowledge that Allah has opened out to me. And therefore I'm enjoying that verse. And I'm enjoying the purport of that verse. The meanings of that verse, I wish that every other believer gets that type of knowledge. In other words, he did not want to mise with his knowledge. This was the vastness of his heart. Then he says, whenever I hear of a Muslim judge giving a verdict or a just decision after listening to the case, and he gives a just decision, then it brings me such joy and happiness that this person has given a fair and a just decision, even though I've got no relationship whatsoever with that particular judge. I've got no case to go to that judge. My showing and expressing that happiness and ecstasy and being elated, and perhaps the judge will come to know that Abdullah bin Abbas is so happy because you judge fairly. So he might put me in his good books, so as to say, I don't really need anything from the judge. This shows his sincerity, that the person has given a fair decision based on Quran and Sunnah. And because of his fair decision, it brings me joy. Then he says the third thing. Any land that has been struck with drought, or afflicted with drought, and after that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends down abundant rain, then it gives me so much of happiness and delight. Even though I do not have any of my livestock grazing on that land. We talk about well-being, altruism. These were the qualities of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in. The hearts were clean, the hearts were pure. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu is with his father Abbas, and they go to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and suddenly Rasulullah sallam moves away from them. So Abbas radiallahu anhu sees Nabi Karim sallam moving away, so he takes his son and they depart. And Abbas radiallahu anhu then questions his son and he says, did you not see Rasulullah sallam moving away from us? Something must be wrong. So Abdullah ibn Abbas says, oh my beloved father, he was busy with another person. Abbas radiallahu anhu was shocked. He said, another person? Nabi Karim was alone there, no other person. So he goes back to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after some time with Abdullah. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we came to you and then suddenly you turned away. Abdullah says, you were busy engaging in some conversation with another person, whereas I did not see any other person. Rasulullah says, Abdullah, hal ra'aytahu? Did you see that person? Hal ra'aytahu? He says, na'am ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I saw that person. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, dhaka Jibreel alayhi salatu salam alladhi shaghalani anka. That was Jibreel alayhi salatu salam who preoccupied me from seeing you. So he had the privilege of seeing Jibreel alayhi salatu salam. Of course, he came in a human form when he engaged Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he had the honor of seeing Jibreel alayhi salatu salam. He also had the honor of being the comrade of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a journey. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made him sit behind him on an animal. And then Nabi Kareem sallam gives him beautiful advices, and believe me, this requires another whole bayan on his own. And just the crux of this, of these advices, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, Ya ghulam, oh youngster, listen, I've got some very important nasiha to give you. So listen attentively. احفظ الله يحفظك. Protect the deen of Allah, Allah will protect you. احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. Protect the deen of Allah. In other words, you must carry out the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, refrain from his prohibitions. تجده تجاهك. You will find Allah always in front of you. In other words, whenever you require Allah, Allah is there to assist you. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ. Whenever you ask, ask Allah. Before you adopt any other halal, jais means, first seek assistance from Allah directly and then use the means. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. When you want help, when you seek assistance, specifically when you want help for anything, then ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for assistance. And then he says, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةِ لو اجتمعوا على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك. If the entire ummah gets together and they assemble and they try to benefit you, they will not be able to cause you any benefit except that amount which Allah has decreed and destined in your favor. And the contrary, if the entire ummah gets together to harm you, they will not be able to harm you except that amount which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed against you. And there are many other parts of that hadith which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned. Abbas radiallahu ta'ala, when he was departing and he was leaving this world, he was experiencing the pangs of death. Then he calls Abdullah. He says, Abdullah, I've got one nasihat, one advice for you. What a beautiful advice the father gives his son. Yes, as he's leaving this world. He says, إِنِّي مُوصِيكَ بِحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَحُبِّ طَاعَتِهِ. I advise you with the love of Allah. You must instill in your heart love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and love to obey Allah Rabbul Izzat. Love for his obedience. And you must instill in your heart khawf, fear for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fear of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you adopt this, in other words, you have the love for Allah, love for obeying Allah, and you have the fear for Allah and fear for disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّكَ إِذَا كُنْتَ كَذَلِكَ. If you are on this and you have these qualities in you, لَمْ تَكْرَهِ الْمَوْتِ. You will never detest death. You will never be afraid of maut. Then maut will be a gift for you. So whenever maut will come, you will be prepared. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu would cry profusely when he would recite the Quran. One verse made him cry and sob the entire night. وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ. Allah talks about sakarat. Allah talks about the pangs of death. It's a reality. Every person has to go through and has to experience mort and death. When he read this verse, he cried the entire night. Masruq rahmatullahi alayhi was a tabi'i. He was a student of Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. He was a student of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala. And he was a student of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. He describes and he says, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ عَبْدَ اللَّهِ, if anybody has to see Abdullah, تَقُول, what would you say? قُلْتَ أَجْمَلَ النَّاسِ, the most handsome of mankind, the most beautiful person. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala كان وَسِيمًا, he was very handsome. وَإِذَا نَطَقَ, and when he would speak, then you would say, أَفْصَحَ النَّاسِ, the most eloquent. It is mentioned in the kitabs, كَانَ خَطِيبًا مِسْقَعًا, he was a very eloquent khatib. When he would give a lecture, then he would display eloquence in his speech. وَإِذَا تَحَدَّثَ, when he would mention hadith of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, or any dini discourse, قُلْتَ, you would say, أَعْلَمَ النَّاسِ, he's the most knowledgeable of mankind. Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu was given that amount of knowledge. The sahaba and tabi'een would come and they would gather around his house and they would sit there, and so many would come that they would block off the roads for others to go past. When one person then comes and complains to Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu, who did not know that so many people were waiting outside, then what he then did was, he distributed the entire week. Each day was allocated for a certain subject. For example, on a Monday he would say, today I would do tafsir of the Holy Quran. All those interested in tafsir, then you may come and assemble and come in to my home and listen to my discourse. The next day would be fiqh, for example. The third day would be hadith, for example. There was a day even for poetry, of course, good poetry, which was beneficial poetry. So like this, the entire week, he had organized and arranged for the sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in to come and benefit from his knowledge. When he passed away, sahaba had given ghusl to him and they had placed him in a kafan. When they enshrouded him, suddenly they see a beautiful white bird coming into his kafan, going into his kafan. When they searched for this bird, they could not find this bird. So they bury him, and as they are burying him, they hear a voice, and they look around, there's no other person reciting, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna, irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiyya, fadkhuli fi ibadi, wadkhuli jannati, the tafsir of which we heard many times before. I'm not going to go in the detail of the different stages of the nafs, but this was a basharat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glad tidings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with jannat. Allah has given him, Allah made this person, whether it was an angel or whether it was his bird speaking, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that Allah made it known to the others around who were present there that Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu has been successful. His janazah was performed by the sahaba and the tabi'een, but Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiya rahmatullahi alayhi had led the janazah salat. Who is Muhammad ibn Hanafiya? He is Muhammad bin Ali radiallahu ta'ala, Muhammad son of Ali radiallahu ta'ala, but his mother was not Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, the mother of Hassan Hussein radiallahu anhu. After the demise of Fatima radiallahu ta'ala, then Ali radiallahu ta'ala had married a woman from the Hanafiya tribe, nothing to do Hanafi Shafi'i madhab. Hanafiya was a tribe. So Muhammad ibn al-Hanafiya, the son of that woman from the Hanafiya tribe who had married Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he was also a very great person, and he led the janazah salah of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. When Jabir radiallahu ta'ala, the great giant, when he was given the news that Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala has passed on, so he looked down. And then he said, مَا تَأَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ وَأَحْلَمُ النَّاسِ, the most knowledgeable of mankind has left this world today. the most tolerant of all the Sahaba, has left this world today. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to bring into our lives the practices, the way of life of the Sahaba, of beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the teaching that and advices that he shared with the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, which they held on to right till their dying moments. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat so we may illuminate our hearts and follow and tread the path of the Sahaba. They were the real shining stars. They were our predecessors. And they were guaranteed Jannat in this world. So if we follow the way of life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for us. We cannot become Sahaba. But at least some type of emulation, Allah will have some mercy upon us, inshallah. We've spent much time already, just a few minutes, inshallah. We were discussing some verses of Surah Maryam, and I explained. Surah Maryam primarily discusses Tawheed, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah had also mentioned His power, His Qudrat, that Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam, despite old age, desired a son. Allah blessed him with Yahya alayhi salatu wasalam. Then Allah showed us the miraculous birth of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Without a father, he is born. Allah discussed Idris alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah discussed Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, various Anbiya alayhi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam was discussed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَخَلَفَ مِن بَعْدِهِمْ خَلْفٌ أَضَاعُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهْوَاتِ فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. After them, in other words, after these Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the predecessors, the pious ones, who succeeded them? Such people who abandoned salat. The word adha'u, idha'at in Arabic means to destroy something. They destroyed salat. There were some who rejected salat being compulsory upon them. There were others who knew it was compulsory, but they were very lazy in performing the salat. They were neglectful and they would not perform the salat. There were others who would perform the salat, but very haphazardly. Like how the munafiqeen used to perform the salat. So Allah says, the first bad quality of these people who succeeded the pious ones was they abandoned salat, they destroyed the salat, وَاتَّبَعُوا الشَّهَوَاتِ, and they followed the whims, the fancies, the desires. They did not follow the teachings of the Nabi of the time. They followed their desires. Allah says, فَسَوْفَ يَلْقَوْنَ غَيَّا. Soon they will see deviation. غَي has two meanings. One is, they will become astray, they will be misled, they will never get the path of hidayat. And غَي also refers to a pit in Jahannam. So Allah says, eventually they will be thrown into Jahannam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, immediately after that, Allah says, إِلَّا except. Now this is an exception. إِلَّا مَن تَابَ. Except for that person who repents. وَآمَنَ, he brings iman. So he has iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a lesson for each one of us. Person goes astray, Allah protect us. Person sins, he slips, he errs, makes a blunder, he falters. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafur rahim. Allah is prepared to forgive the person. And therefore, the moment he sincerely repents, and of course with the shurut, with the conditions of repenting, he must abandon the sin, he must show that remorseness, he must feel ashamed of committing that sin, and he must promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to go back to that sin again. When he makes sincere tawbah, then it is mentioned in hadith, At-ta'ibu min al-dhanb kaman la dhanb lah. That person who repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely, he is like that one, that person who has not committed any sin whatsoever. Allah obliterates his sins. So Allah says, Illa man taba wa amana wa amila salih. After a person makes tawbah, what must he do? Immediately he must do righteous actions. Now he must strive towards doing good things. It's not just we make tawbah, istighfar, we shed those tears, and then we sit back again. No, we must now go forward. We must progress. فَأُولَٰئِكَ, Allah says, such people, even though they made a mistake, they sinned, but they made tawbah. They brought iman, genuine, sincere iman, a strong iman, then they did good actions. Allah says, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةِ. All these people will enter Jannah, وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. they will not be oppressed the least bit. In other words, whatever good deed they do in this world, after bringing iman, after making tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not look down upon their past and say, because you committed that particular sin, I'm not going to give you any blessing, any reward for any good deeds you are doing now. No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ignores his past. Allah overlooks his past. Allah forgives him. And for every good deed he does, Allah rewards him abundantly. And he will receive every single neki and blessing for it in the hereafter. And what is the jannat Allah has promised? Jannati adnin allati wa'ada ar-Rahmanu 'ibadahu bil-ghayb. That jannat which we have not seen. None of us have seen jannat. It is ghayb, unseen. Now there is a gift, there is a reward, or there is an award for us, which we have not seen. If we're in a competition, we see that car, we know this is the prize, spurs us on to filling in the competition. Yeah, we have not seen jannat. It is from the unseen. Despite that, Allah gives us tawfiq of still obeying Allah, still performing righteous deeds. So Allah says, this is those gardens of eternity, which Rahman, your Allah who is full of mercy, out of His mercy He gives you the jannat. It is again Allah reminding you, even though you might do righteous deeds, still, it does not guarantee you jannat. Oh, you don't still deserve jannat. Allah gives you, Allah grants you the jannat, out of His mercy for you. So we'll do the righteous deeds, and we have hopes in Allah, Allah is going to accept it. And Allah definitely, Allah is not dhallam. Allah never oppresses any person. Allah says, that is the gardens of eternity, which your Rahman, Allah has promised you, bil ghayb, which you have not seen, or which is unseen. Innahu kana wa'aduhu ma'tiyya. Allah's promise must come to pass. Allah keeps to His promises. In Jannat, لا يسمعون فيها لغوا إلا سلاما. Person will not hear any futile talk in Jannat. He'll only hear salam. The angels will make salam to you. In Jannat, the inmates of Jannat will make salam to one another. Then Jannat is known as Darus Salam. The house of greetings or the house of peace. There'll be no exhaustion, no work, no fatigue, no labor, nothing. It's just peace, enjoyment, tranquility, serenity. There'll be no nonsensical talks. In other words, if we really want to be Jannatis, and if we want to have the sifat of, or the sifat, the quality of the Jannatis, then in this world we must try and imbibe those qualities of the Jannatis and abstain from futile talks. Otherwise we will just while away our time and spend our time in futile, vain talks. Our heart will become hard. We'll be kept away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result of that, we will miss our tahajjud. As a result of that, we will not be able to make zikrullah. As a result of a hard heart, we will not be able to read Quran Sharif. We won't want to be in the masjid. We won't want to frequent the masjid. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَهُمْ رِزْقُهُمْ فِيهَا بُكْرَةً وَعَشِيَّا. Morning and evening. Now there's no real morning and evening in Jannat. There's no sun. There's only daylight. There's only enjoyment. And there's no heat of the sun that we will feel the intensity of. And we need air cons. Everything is so cool. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this morning and eve, morning and night, just as we have a morning and night in this world, like that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is intended here, that perpetually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bestow the people of Jannat provisions. Now again, we don't have time, but inshallah, on one occasion, we will explain the ahadith related to Jannat. One person, as he is sitting in his palace, you will see a bird flying above him. The bird will address him, Ya Wali Allah, O friend of Allah, eat me. It will fall onto his platter. He say, eat me, how do you want me? Matbukhan am mashwiyan. You want me bright? You want me fried? You want me cooked? How you want me? Whatever his desire will be, that is how he will partake of that bird. So like that he will get, he won't have to stretch his hands out for any fruit. The branches of the tree will be lowered and he will enjoy different types of fruit. Inshallah, on some occasion we'll discuss the blessings and the bounties of Jannah. Allah says, Tilkal Jannah. That is the Jannat. Allati nurithu min ibadina. Which we shall give as inheritance to our servants. Man kana taqiyya. For those who have taqwa. Again, the lesson of taqwa. We have to be righteous, we have to be pious, we have to abstain from all those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made haram upon us. If we really want the Jannat, Allah says, Man kana taqiyya. Those who have taqwa in them, and therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discussed the various Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, our predecessors, that they had taqwa in their lives. They did not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore Allah was pleased with them. If we also follow these Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, we follow our beloved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, who taught us the lesson of taqwa, every single lesson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, almost every lesson, Nabiya Kareem would emphasize taqwa in his khutbah, you will hear taqwa. Nikah, taqwa. Hajj is taqwa, ayahs of taqwa. When he talks about business transaction, we'll see again taqwa. So that person who has taqwa in his life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, then such a person, he deserves to get the Jannat, or we will give him the Jannat. He will become a warith. He will become an heir. He will inherit the Jannat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the beautiful Jannat that Allah ta'ala has promised in the Quran. May Allah give us the qualities of the Jannatis. May Allah give us the understanding of the Quran and Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. There are many janazas that have taken place recently. Even tonight also, another janazah, may Allah ta'ala make maghfirat of all the deceased, the marhums, Allah. Give the family sabr jameel. And there are many people who requested duas who are sick. Some are going for operations, some have just underwent some surgery or operation. May Allah ta'ala give the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam afiyat, salamati, hifazat. May Allah give us good health. May Allah protect us. May Allah guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us hidayat. May Allah give us tawfiq of learning and implementing the Quran and Hadith in life. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.